welcome to episode 143 of
Brutal Battle.
Yeah, we got Dan Kim back on the Brutal Battle couch. We're going to do this episode.
Back better than ever.
See, the thing Dan did is, and other people can do it who are in the area or able to make it to the area, he said, hey, I want to do some recording. And I said, all right, we'll make it happen. So we're going to do a session. I don't know how many it'll be, but we'll make it happen. Although, go ahead.
Oh, it's totally a selfish thing. I just like tasting cool beers.
And that's fine with me if people want to do that. I want to share cool beers with people who want to taste cool beers. It's all good, man. So I do have to say up front, my voice may sound a little different, maybe more nasally or whatever. Having major allergy issues, so if it sounds weird, my apologies. And if I make like weird noises or something, my apologies right. As well.
Allergies, plus you went to the New Kids on the Block reunion tour last night.
So many people smoking weed there, right? I didn't see it coming. No, I didn't go. But are they still touring? I don't even know.
I thought they had some sort of reunion thing happening.
They did, but I don't know. The last one I remember happening, I think, was like 5 years ago or something. No, I don't know.
It was sooner than that.
Oh, okay. Well, you probably know more than me.
Oh, that's an insult.
But let's do the hop knowledge. Today's hop, as we get closer and closer to the end, is one people should probably recognize, Warrior Hop. It's one I recognize. It's a product from Yakima Chief Ranches in Washington State in the northwest United States. Its pedigree and release date must be privileged information, unfortunately, but its hop's character and demand speaks for itself. Yeah, there's no origin information on it. Warrior is a bold hops variety and a sign of the times, apparently. Strong bittering. The alpha acids are 14.5% to 17%. That's very big on the bittering. It has an excellent bite that it'll add to any beer that needs, you know, any strong bittering to it. Warrior Hop's known for its mild aroma. You'll most likely find it in strong ales, and although predominantly used in American craft breweries, Warrior can be found in commercial recipes around the beer world. Warrior hops are vigorous growing hops, and they put out 2,400 to 2,600 pounds per acre. That is pretty big. Medium-sized cones produce bright yellow lupulin, which are like little resin seeds, basically, is what they look like, and are harvested mid-season. Nugget, Columbus, as well as Hallertau Magnum hops can be used as substitutes, but you shouldn't have any trouble finding Warrior hops, so they're pretty popular. Two examples of breweries that made beers with it. You have Flying Dog Brewings. Flying Dog Brewery makes their Gonzo Imperial Porter.
Oh, nice.
With Warrior Hops. And Trogues Craft Brewery uses Warrior for Nugget Nectar.
That's not a single hop beer, is it?
No. I don't
Okay, it's
think
just
so.
One in the
it's
mix?
It's just in there. Yeah, okay. It's in there. I was hesitating a little bit on the Trogues name because this is their old name. They changed it to like Trogues Independent Brewing or something like that. I don't remember, but we can talk about that another time. That's a topic for another episode.
It's a totally different company now, Carl. What are you talking about?
No, it's totally the same. But so we're going to do what we like to do and have a warm-up beer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we have today, I told Dan I was going to pull out something kind of special that I've been wanting to try that I don't think Rebecca will really try with me because she doesn't like stuff on the sour or like Brett funky side so much. This is Allagash Brewing Company's Midnight Brett Ale, and it's 7.3% alcohol by volume.
So how old is this?
Oh, this doesn't gush. Well, okay, I do have to tell everyone that before we started recording, we were delayed in getting the recording going because Rebecca came down and she had one of the bottles covered up for mystery beers, and she was like, there's a cork in this and I can't get it out. Can you get it out? So I was working on this thing for a while. As soon as I popped it, it just started gushing out right. All over the carpet. So we had to take time to clean that up. So this made me a little hesitant as I'm opening it. I'm like, God, please don't gush everywhere.
Although you swore the next time you do it over a hard floor, and totally didn't. You just did it the exact same place.
Well, I mean, we're on the podcast right now, so I'm willing to take that risk for the podcast.
Oh, for the art.
Plus, if it were to go everywhere on the podcast, significantly more acceptable than off the podcast, because someone could find some sort of enjoyment in hearing that train wreck. You know what I mean? So yeah. So here we have the Midnight Brett Ale. The first thing I notice as I pour it, huge head to it.
Yes.
Huge head. Yeah. Massive size bubbles too. Like cola style bubbles, like right. Soda.
And they're white bubbles, like soda bubbles. And it's got a really nice caramel color.
Yeah.
And it smells like a dream. It smells ooh, tart.
Yeah.
Like
it's a little bit of a cherry note in there for me. I get tons of that typical Brettanomyces funk to it.
Yeah.
Oh. It smells very inviting to me, as I am a fan of the Brett funk. But I get along with that, with the little bit of cherry I get, I also smell like a little bit of like a lemon note.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't pinpoint exactly what the acid is, but it, you know, maybe even.
Hmm.
You get a touch of like, maybe like a touch of like raspberry or something.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that in the flavor. As I was taking a sip, it's really delicate. The flavors in that beer. I was expecting it with the nose to be a little more in your face. Mm-hmm. I get a little bit, like, it's, I taste everything that I smell, but it's really dialed down. You know, like, I get the funky aspect, but it's, like, really low. I get a little bit of that lemon, but it's actually kind of more of, like, more bitter, like, lemon peel, and it's kind of low. I get a little bit of that cherry. I get some of that raspberry you're talking about.
Right, and
tastes good.
And there's something slightly creamy in there, too. Like, there's actually a very interesting journey. Like, you're tasting, like, five things at once, and then as it sits mm-hmm. on your palate, they each kind of settle down one at a time.
I agree.
And it's actually very
tastes good. It's, like, super delicate, too. Like, it's
right.
just, like, nice.
Right.
I don't taste alcohol at all, either.
And there's not one thing happening. There's, like, literally, there's, like, five things happening mm-hmm. in here. And they're intermingling, but they kind of disperse in a nice way, too.
I'm actually liking where the Brett funk level is on this, too, because sometimes it's way too much. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's, like, not there. This is kind of, like, on the lower end, but, like, nice, I think.
Right.
I like it. That's good.
There's
beer.
Also, like, something floral in there that mm-hmm. I can't point out. Almost like a potpourri.
Yeah.
This is nice.
I don't really know my flowers so well, so I can't be like hibiscus or honeysuckle or.
Well,
know.
Yeah, because you're allergic to all of them, and they yeah. they're all just death.
Well, no, actually, my real allergies are I'm screwed no matter where I go. They're grass and dust mites. So whether I'm outside or I'm inside, it's whatever's most prevalent there. It's terrible. But whatever, you know, it's fine. So as we continue to sip on this Midnight Brett, by the way, great job, Allagash. We're going to talk about a quick topic that, Dan, you had brought up when we were at the office one day, and I was just like, oh, that would be a really good topic for Brutal Battle, because it's something that I hadn't thought of before. But what was your question?
Well, I was listening to another podcast, and they were talking about, I think it was Not Your Father's Root Beer, and they were saying it's technically not a beer. It's actually, it's a malt liquor, isn't it?
Yeah. Was that podcast the Craft Beer Temple Insiders Roundtable?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great podcast.
And then there's, I remember there was another brewer there, and he was saying that because of certain state laws, certain things that they make, they have to be classified as malt liquors and not beers, even though they're a brewery and they want to call it a beer, but they're just because of the processing that they were using, they couldn't technically call it a beer. They had to label it as a malt liquor.
Right.
And so I was just asking, what's the actual difference between malt liquor and beer? And, you know, I mean, you know, those 40 ounces of Old English and those little green grenades, Mickey's, those are all malt liquors too.
Yeah.
So,
well, and it was interesting because when you first brought up that question about malt liquor versus beer, I was like, oh, the first thing that jumped into my mind was Terrapin Brewing or Terrapin Beer out of Athens, Georgia, because I remember that on every like special release they have, like their, you know, Muhukiato or their Cinnamon Roll Wake and Bake or, mm-hmm. you know, those, it says malt beverage, malt liquor beverage on there.
Right.
And it doesn't say beer, but, and I checked to make sure, because I have one of their mosaics upstairs, it says, does not say malt liquor on it. So I was like, what is the deal? So I did a little looking into it. And what it looks like is pretty much all beer could be, as long as it uses malted barley, could be considered a malt liquor.
Okay.
For that reason, because that's kind of what the definition is.
Mm-hmm.
It's malt liquor if it uses malted barley. And the rules, which are very antiquated, were basically that if a beer gets to a certain ABV, it has to be categorized as a malt liquor or a malt beverage.
Right, because I looked it up on just a quick search, just so I had some frame of reference before mm-hmm. I came on. And they were saying, like, if you're having, so you have your yeast that eats sugar and they convert the sugar into alcohol. But if you're adding things to feed the yeast, like beyond a certain point, to more sugars, whether that's actual sugar or, you know, adjuncts like corn,
mm-hmm.
then to raise the ABV to give the yeast more to eat, then it becomes a malt liquor. But then there's so many breweries add ingredients that are sugars, things like fruit,
honey, or cocoa nibs.
Right. All of which contain sugar, all of which, you know, then how does, like, you know, like creme brulee from Southern Tier, how is that not a malt liquor?
Yeah. Like? So what it looks like when I was looking into it is that these old, you know, guidelines have kind of been done away with, but it's on a state by state basis.
Oh, really?
So there are certain states who are still holding on to it, like Georgia. I looked into it and I actually found an article that specifically said Georgia still holds to that. So it looks like it's basically like if a beer's like, I think it's like over, it's like 7% or higher, 7 or 8% and higher, then it has to be, say, malt beverage on it if it's coming out of Georgia.
Which so, explains Terrapin.
Yes, exactly. So,
I'm trying to think of Georgian breweries, and the only other one, prevalent one that distributes here that I can think of is Sweetwater.
Yeah.
But Sweetwater mostly does hoppy stuff.
Yes. So their stuff's not usually getting that high anyway. Actually, I don't even think I've seen a higher ABV than like 7% from Sweetwater.
Right. I mean, maybe one of their doubles, but I don't think of them as, you know, as sweet like Moohoo is or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Well, it's just, I don't know. I think the fact that they have to make that change is stupid. Should be able to just call it beer. But it makes me wonder if people would actually get confused with that and see it and be like, oh, wait, I want a beer. This isn't a beer. It says malt beverage.
Right. Especially when if they think of malt beverage as, you know,
Steel Reserve.
Right.
Colt 45.
Right, and so they have that association, but also things like Smirnoff Ice, isn't that a malt liquor
right,
too?
Yeah, I believe
so. Stuff like that, or Twisted Tea.
Yeah.
Those are all malt.
Tequiza,
right?
Back when it was a thing,
and even like isn't maybe something like Limerita by Bud?
Yeah, I wonder if that is that.
Right, so if you're associating with all these kind of off the wall weirdo things that you wouldn't call beer, and so you have a beer coming out, like a product coming out of a brewery that you associate with beer, maybe that would confuse a consumer, which is kind of unfortunate if it's beholden to some rando state law, but they're trying to distribute it nationally.
Yeah. Get with it, Georgia. Damn, that's stupid.
Well, they have the misfortune of being, you know,
in the South.
Okay, yeah, but, you know, just kind of singled out.
Georgia's
probably not the only state that has
At least they were ahead of Mississippi.
Standards.
At least they were ahead of Mississippi and Alabama with their homebrew laws. Because Mississippi and Alabama were the last two to decriminalize homebrewing, and it was within, like, the last 5 years, which is insane.
Yeah, I want to say Alabama was in the last 2 years.
Yeah, it was, like, super recent, but anyway. Actually, as I'm sipping on this Midnight Brettmore, I'm getting a little bit more of, like, the tartness building up, and it's even nicer. I'm liking it even more. It's nice. More of like that kind of little lemony hit with the cherry.
I have to get more into analysis mode because I'm just like, I'm sure I should be tasting something, but it tastes good, so I'm just going to finish it.
You're just glad to have a beer.
Without trying to figure out what I'm tasting.
I mean, you know, taste it however you want to, but what you do need to know is that we're going to do the mystery beers, which we can just jump into right now, honestly.
Let's do it.
Let's just do it. And now you need to go into analysis mode. And I will say this, when it was beer B that was all over the floor, as it was gushing out all over the carpet, we did get a good smell of it.
Yeah, it was, filled the room with an aroma.
It did. And then when I have one of those things called a spot bot, which is like a, you know, it'll clean it for you, basically.
Right.
I like robots to do my work for me, honestly. So Japan, hurry up with those helper robots we're supposed to
have.
Well,
it's the first entree into Skynet taking over. So,
So when I was emptying out the dirty water from that spot bot, I got a very good whiff of beer B again. It was very potent. Even though there was like a cleaner in there. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I know you're trying to compliment it, but you're saying, oh, this dirty cleanser water smells great.
No, I'm not necessarily trying to compliment it because I smelled something I liked in there and I smelled something I didn't like in there necessarily. So, but we'll see. I need to smell the beer straight on in the glass to really know. So give it a fair shot. All right. Hopefully my nose is working. Actually, I did one before you came over to record. I did, you know, like those Flonases, or it was called Sinex or something by Vicks. You squirt them right up your nose.
Okay.
I cannot get used to that. I don't know how people do cocaine, because things up your nose, it's horrible. It's terrible.
Oh, you should go get a neti pot.
Oh, no. I see that thing, and that looks like torture to me. That looks like what I think, like, low-grade waterboarding is.
People who love neti pot love neti pot.
No, I know. I've heard.
They swear by it.
All right, well, let's look at beer A. It looks like it's potentially an IPA of sorts. Orangish with a little yellow tinge to it. Very clear. I don't see any sort of haze or suspension in there. It's very clear looking beer.
Well, I took a whiff and it smells hoppy. You're getting a lot of,
it smells like, to me it smells like hops past their prime, to be
really?
Honest. Yeah. It smells like hops that were pretty nice and citrusy at one point, but are now kind of more of the like honey, sickly sweet, citrusy smell that really died down IPAs get. There's a little bit of there's a pine note in there too, though.
Yeah.
Pretty decent pine.
Yeah, but you're right about the citrus. And I'm also getting a little bit of
honey.
Yeah.
A little apple.
A little grass. A little
appley note. It doesn't smell terrible.
No, I think it smells okay.
There's actually a little bit of a grapey hint in there as well on the end. A little grape. Let's taste this.
No.
What the hell is this? I don't taste anything. Let me...
I think you might be right about the hops dying down, because it tastes really kind of like a bad grape juice, and it also has kind of a dishwater thing happening in there.
Yeah, I feel you on that. It's a little bit... It's a little tinge of like a mildew, you know, like when your dish rag gets a little mildewy. I've not tasted that, but kind of like what it smells like, you know.
Yeah, this is not good.
No, it's not. No, there's not a whole lot of flavor, and what flavor is there is very, eh. I mean, honey. There's a bitterness to it that, I mean, the bitterness just takes over all the other flavors.
Right. I mean, it's either that it was crafted badly, or maybe I don't think I got, this doesn't sound, this doesn't,
it doesn't
skunky.
No, it doesn't smell skunk. It could easily be a situation where this is an IPA that sat way too long, or a pale ale or whatever. And it just, it sat and it's way past its prime.
God, this aftertaste is the worst part of it.
Yeah. Well, it's really bitter on the aftertaste, isn't it? Like, kind of nasty bitter.
Right, but not in, like, a palate-cleansing way, and just, like, a what-did-I-just-do-to-myself way.
Yeah. Drinking it is kind of like, I want a beer, you know? Like, I don't even, like, think this is a beer, is what my mind's doing. It's, you know, if I want a beer, I would drink that, and I'd be like, no.
Well, we were talking about the Midnight Bread Ale by Allagash and how that had like a funk in a good way. Mm-hmm. This has a funk in a bad way.
That's true. If this is a hoppy beer that's just well past its prime, I hope there's a date code on that can or bottle or whatever. Because if there's a date code, I can kind of forgive it and say, I need to give it another shot some other time.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's no date code, that's the brewery's fault. And I will judge it as such.
Well, brewery plus distributor plus store.
Well, yes, you are correct. You are correct. The nose is in comparison to the flavor, when I smell it again, the nose is a hell of a lot better than the flavor.
Yeah, the nose is probably the best part about it. But even now, I'm having maybe it's because it's in my mouth already, but I'm having trouble picking the smell out as a separate entity.
I keep getting that grapey note out of there.
I keep getting that feeling that I want to move on.
Yeah. That was disappointing. Sorry, Dan. That was your first beer of the night.
No,
it was your second beer of the night.
The warm-up beer was fine. Really good.
And that's sometimes why it's important to do warm-up beers, because then here's something that you know is good. Get the night started off right, you know?
Well, the beer B...
super dark.
Yeah. Well, you can see light through it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. It's not like a Imperial Stout or anything like that. You can see through it. It's like a brown...
So
caramel.
Yeah, caramelly, like a lactic, like milk chocolate.
Yeah. A little bit of soy sauce, maybe even a little bit of molasses in there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, definitely the soy sauce as well.
I was thinking maybe licorice, but I'm going to take that back.
I could see, like, the slightest touch of, like, a licorice type deal.
But it could be, maybe not like milk chocolate, but, like, dark chocolate.
This smells to me like this is more of, like, an aged, darker beer. You know, because it gets a little bit more of that kind of soy sauce aspect that you're talking about.
What about something like prunes?
Okay. Yeah, no, I definitely could see a little bit of a pruney aspect.
Yeah, because I was drinking Dr. Pepper, because I always think Dr. Pepper tastes like prunes. I was drinking that before today, and
random.
It reminds me.
The Dr. Pepper smells like prunes thing is random.
It does.
That's random.
It is. Dr. Pepper is carbonated crappy prune juice, but it tastes good.
Starting to get a low-grade cherry note on the nose the more I smell it, too.
I can see that.
It's, like, right under that, like, milk chocolatey.
Yeah, chocolate and cherries, that's a pretty pretty common and classic
combo. Good combo, yeah.
I'm going to go in.
It smells pretty good.
I'm going in.
A lot going on. Yeah, you go in there, you tell me what you get.
Oh, that cherry note is much bigger in the taste.
Wow.
And it almost tastes like...
dang.
Almost tastes like a really good... like a really good soda that you would get not from a can, but like from a real soda jerk. Like
Yeah, like a chocolate cherry hand-drawn soda.
But there's actually is kind of a cola thing happening in there too.
No, there definitely is like a cola aspect. There's a lot of cherry to that. A
lot of cherry.
That's crazy because the nose, it's just like faintly there. I get a little bit of that kind of milk chocolate too.
Yeah, you get the cherry up front and then I don't get the chocolate until... it's gone and it's just been sitting on my tongue. The chocolate is last, but it is a dark chocolate, not a milk chocolate. This is really interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. There's like a lingering bitterness on the end that is also lingering along with like a little bit of a tart cherry flavor.
And we didn't mention anything about body, but this is pretty light. This is medium at best, and the alcohol, I don't know what it is, but it's not hitting me in the face. It's well hidden.
There's a lot of cherry in that.
Yeah, I'm really liking this.
I don't know if I'd say I really like it because I'm not like big on cherry, but like you said, it is interesting. It is an interesting beer, and I think I'd like that kind of chocolatey aspect to be ramped up a little bit.
Right.
Actually, more than a little bit, like a medium amount. Like, ramp it up so that it's kind of, it's rivaling that cherry.
Right.
Because the cherry really takes over.
Right, but there's also kind of like a vanilla cream that's happening throughout that's really nice. that kind of just kind of smooths the edges out.
There is a creamy characteristic, which I would probably see coming from maybe like a barrel aging process.
Oh, maybe.
But I don't taste anything. Do I get like any woody? I don't think I get any like woody.
Well, I definitely don't get any like spirit character. So if there's a if it's in a barrel, it's just for the wood character.
Maybe wood, but like a real short amount of time in the wood.
Yeah, I'm not that great about picking out the taste of oak or anything like that. So if it's in there, it's something I'm tasting but not perceiving.
My beer creates a conundrum for me. I just went back to A, just because I just like to see what it's like after the other beer. It still sucks.
All right, I'll do my due diligence and go back as well.
You know, honestly though, like as I'm drinking it, I'm smelling it again. I could smell that beer. I could keep smelling it. It doesn't smell bad, really. I don't know. The taste is just not there, man.
It's that whole thing about that mildew, dirty dishwater. Yeah, that's just. Yeah. I can't get past it.
Boo. Okay, well, I think it's about time to start. Midnight Brett's still my favorite beer, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I like B. I do. I like it. I think it's pretty good. I like the Midnight Brett more.
Okay. Just like, I respect it.
All right, so do you have numbers in mind? Or do you want me to
I'm not going to play around with A. That's going to get a straight one for me.
I think A deserves a little bit more of a fair chance because the nose wasn't like horrible, horrible, horrible. Mm-hmm. And it's relatively neutral. Like the finish could have been a lot worse than it was, in my opinion. And I've had beers on the show that the finish is a lot worse. The flavor is a lot worse. So I'm going to go with 2.
Right.
So that'll get a 1.5.
Right. So. I mean, I understand it, but, you know, what's the point of being nice with it?
I mean,
can it be more offensive? Yes, but there's very little to redeem about it for me.
How often in life do you, like, give things and people points for not being more offensive than they could be? That's a good point. All right, so B. Do you have an idea on B? This one's what kind of confuses me.
I mean,
it is interesting. I'm warming up to the cherry. I like that kind of, that creaminess is interesting. And I like that kind of like milk chocolatey
right
note. Although I want that to be ratcheted up.
Right. Well, I would be surprised if you got as high as I did. So I'm wondering if I should go first or second.
What you think? Oh.
Like, do you think, like, if I go too high, are you going to try to counter me? Or
No. I won't. If you want me to go first, though, if that'll make you feel more comfortable, I will do that.
No, I really like this. I think it's very interesting. It's complicated, but it's nice the whole way. I like how light it is. I'm not really into high velocity beers. I much prefer, you know, it's something more drinkable. And so it's drinkable and really good and complicated, and the flavor notes it hits are all pleasant. I'm going to go 7 on this.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, so. I personally really like this.
Okay. And I was thinking the cherry is growing on me more and more as I continue to drink it. Obviously, there are things I want out of it, but I still think it's an interesting enough beer and good enough that I actually think I'm going to give it a 4.
Wow.
I mean...
Okay. That's a big discrepancy we had.
Yeah, 5.5 overall, right?
Oh, I'm not a math major, so.
Yeah, it's 5.5. So obviously B's the winner with an overall 5.5. I don't think it was worth me having to clean it up off the floor. The flavor, that is. So
that took quite a while.
It did. But I mean, I didn't do like the manual work. I just moved the robot around, but you know. Japan, come on. These robots need to move themselves.
I was reading this article about how Japan has a decreasing population. I don't know what
that's why they need more robots.
Yeah.
Fill that in.
It's very sad.
All right, we'll go ahead and reveal A, the loser of the episode. Overall, 1.5, not a very good beer, is... it's Trogues Craft Breweries. Oh, Independent Craft Brewery. It's their Hop Knife. Well, I think this is past its prime. That's the thing.
Well, I saw this in the store.
Oh, there is a bottled on date. It's very light. It was. It was like 5 months ago.
That's not
That's not.
awful. That's not awful.
That,
It's
well.
not good, but it's that's it.
It's 5 months, man. I don't want hoppy beers that far
I
out.
don't either, but you shouldn't just completely crap the bed after 5 months.
But it's a harvest ale. That's the thing about Hop Knife. It's a harvest ale. And that's it's supposed to be like the fresh hoppy aspect.
Right.
It's 6.2% alcohol by volume. I want to call a redo on that beer. I want to give that beer another shot
Okay.
because fresh, I guarantee you it tastes
Have you
like a
had
million
that?
times
Have you
better.
had that fresh?
Yeah, I've had Hop Knife fresh. Not this release of it that was like 5 months ago, but the release the year prior to that.
Okay.
And I thought it was really quite good. But I mean, it's a harvest ale, and harvest ales are supposed to be consumed pretty early. I wouldn't go further out than 3 months after bottling for a harvest ale.
Right, and harvest ales are also highly seasonal, and
Yeah.
so if you're drinking a harvest ale and the pumpkin ales are already in full swing, you're probably done with harvest.
Yeah. So I'm gonna give Trogs a pass on this one, especially. I'm only giving them the pass though because they bottle dated. If they didn't bottle date, I would not give them a pass because I hate breweries that don't bottle date or can date because then no, people don't know what they're getting,
What do you think about brewers who do bottle date, but it's in some weird
Like
code,
Julian.
but it's in some weird code that no one understands?
I think they're kind of pretentious dicks. Like I
I
think that's the way that
know
is.
there's a website that decodes it for you, but who wants to go through all
Well, it just seems like they're trying to hide it from you. It's like only we know. You know, it's like that's there's no need for that. So, anyway, sorry, Trogs. Typically love your stuff. Anyway, we'll see what B, the overall winner of the episode with a 5.5.
Very wide discrepancy on this beer.
Yeah. What do you think it is?
I have no clue.
Well, let's find out.
Maybe the brewery.
Oh. This is weird. Okay, so it's by Breckenridge Brewery, who
Oh,
recently was purchased by AB InBev, by the way.
wow.
They're out of Colorado. The beer is, you're not even gonna, oh my God. I don't even see an ABV on it, honestly. But here's the thing, I don't think it tastes like the way it's supposed to taste. I think it's infected, and that's why it was gushing everywhere. Because it is an Imperial Vanilla Porter aged in rum barrels with vanilla beans.
Well, we talked about vanilla. You talked about barrels.
Yeah,
We didn't pick out
the
rum.
creaminess from a barrel.
Right.
Well, the
Well,
rum would give it
vanilla also would give a creaminess.
the rum would give it like a spice type characteristic.
Well, is a if we're, if that depends if we're talking about a spice rum or
Well,
a
yeah,
non-spice
that's
rum.
true.
But I wonder what was giving it that cherry note. Maybe the human, and
Well,
you're saying it was the infection that was giving it the cherry note?
yes. Yep. Which in this instance, it's well, I would actually have to know what the original iteration of this is supposed to be like because and compare it to this infected version. Because if it's like nice and dark and creamy, like I would want the other version more. But this is still interesting and good. I mean, obviously, you really liked it. I thought it was pretty good.
Taste it again and try to keep in mind rum, and it comes through.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think you're right. It's just so hard to pick it out when there's that really present cherry
Right, and
characteristic.
there's so much going on that it's hard to pinpoint it, but once you're looking for it, you can you it's obvious.
I can also see the vanilla bean as I keep going. I think that's where that milk chocolate aspect came out of, like the vanilla.
Yeah, I wonder what the chocolate, maybe that's one of the, like, maybe they had chocolate malt in there or
Yeah,
something like
yeah.
that.
Well, I mean porter. So it's
Yeah,
like a
you're
dark
right.
malt
You're
typically
right.
going to give chocolate characteristics.
You're
So,
right.
yeah, I mean, I see where all these notes are coming from, but it was infected. So,
Well, you're saying it's infection. I
no,
don't.
I'm telling you, I know that's infected. Like it does not gush the way it does without being infected. Unless it's intentionally done that way, like the bacteria is actually in there
Right.
intentionally and they, did it after they bottled it. then I would understand that. But right. But there have been times too where there have been other beers I've had that were not supposed to have bacteria in them. They got infected and it was a happy accident. I'll give you a great example. There was a bourbon barrel aged version of Duclaw Brewing's Euphoria, which is a toffee nut brown ale.
Yeah.
Bourbon barrel aged, but it got infected. That sour aspect in there was actually really good.
Hmm.
So I was like, this is a happy accident. I'm cool with that.
Well, I know you liked it and I really liked it. And so
yeah.
I'm very happy that if this was infected, I'm very happy and you got infected.
I guarantee you that's not what they intended with this beer. That exactly what that is. I guarantee this beer is basically just not supposed to be tart. You know, you take out those cherry notes that maybe like low grade cherry could be in there, but like that tartness, right. Guarantee the original intended version of it. All those other flavors are probably more in check.
Right, because we talk about cherry as being one of the main flavors of this beer, and it's not even mentioned in the profile on the bottle.
But in this case, with this one, I'll say quality control, bitch. You gotta quality control your beer. So well, I give the pass to Trogues in this. This is really funny because the hop knife got a really bad score, and I want to give it a pass because they put the bottle date on there. Because they've made the precautions. They're like, look, here's when it was bottled. You know, do the right thing. The Breckenridge beer did well, and I'm not giving it a pass because they let it get infected. They didn't do anything about it. No quality control.
I wonder if part of that is the cork too, just because sometimes corks can carry infection, right. Or
that can happen,
or things can leach through the pores of the cork.
But I will say, typically, and I'm just going off of what I know about wine and cork issues. Typically, the bacteria that's on the cork, it makes it have like a wet cardboard, wet dog type aspect to the smell and the flavor, and I'm not getting that in this.
No.
But this beer, I don't think I said what it's called. It's called 25. It's like a 20. It's 25th year anniversary, okay. Ordeal for the brewery.
Yeah, so. Breckenridge is one of those breweries that I don't think badly, or you know, they're just kind of a middle of the road brewery.
Honestly, I just don't think about them typically.
Yeah, I don't think about them at all. I see them and I. You know, I don't have ill feelings about it, yeah. But it's just, yeah, say Breckenridge.
Yeah. Well, honestly, like, when they were purchased by AB InBev, I was just like, oh. Like, it did nothing to me. I was just like, oh.
Well, I know their vanilla porter was one of the first dark beers I tried, so I think of it as kind of like a, in my mind, it's kind of like a gateway, like their vanilla porter is like a gateway beer into like, darker stuff.
Oh, the ABV is on this. 9.8. It was just kind of hidden.
Okay.
9.8%.
Yeah.
I don't think it tastes like 9.8, honestly. No. I think it tastes lower. That's good.
Yeah.
But maybe that's the infection that's covering it up.
Right.
No pass for you, Breckenridge, especially now that you're owned by AB InBev.
Well, maybe not at the time of this bottle.
Well, yeah. I guarantee probably not at the time of this bottle, because that purchase was like very recent.
Well... So. If AB InBev can do one thing well, it's bottle consistency.
That's true.
So maybe that'll help.
You put some beechwood in that thing, and we are good to go.
Yeah. They will. If that's one hop, they will add two more hops to it.
Yeah, that's right. Not pounds, like two hops to the whole batch. Anyway, that's the show. That's this first show. We're going to go on to another one, see how many we'll do. And continue to sip on this Midnight Bread Ale, which I quite like. This
yeah.
is nice.
I'm going to ask for a second on this Breckenridge.
Okay. I mean, there's more. It's a 22 ounce, so you can have as much as you want, really. Anyway, thank you. Thanks, Dan, for being on.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and...
keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.